Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Second play of the second half from the 21-yard line. Walter needs two to break the record. High formation, wing to the right is McKinnon. Galt wide to the left. They send McKinnon in motion through to the left side. Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record. Cuts back. He's got it. He's out over the 25 to the 26-yard line. Walter Payton becomes the National Football League all-time leading rusher, surpassing Jim Brown on his second carry here in the second half. And that's the equivalent to Hank Aaron breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run record.
Middays on the Score.
Oh, it does my heart good to hear Joe McConnell, one of the voices of my youth. We all remember where we were that day. The top of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Jarrett Payton is on Twitter at PaytonSun, S-U-N, and he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hi, Jarrett, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. First time on the show with you guys, man. That clip took me back to, there's a YouTube video people search out there of me right before that play. The camera comes in on my mom, my grandma, and my dad's sister, and I see the camera, and I start sticking my tongue out and waving my tongue at the camera. My mom slapped my hands down. You don't see that part, but I still remember that day like it was yesterday.
Were you in any doubt about where your dad would end up on the 100 greatest Bears list of all time when the list started coming out on Monday?
No, but I'm a little biased, though, just because, you know, he's my dad and my favorite athlete. And, you know, you guys, it's an honor. I said he would be honored to be on that list with all the great names that were on that list. And I know what it would mean to him because of how hard he worked. And he gave everything to the game of football. He gave everything to the Chicago Bears. And it all comes down to that moment. And this year is special, being the 100th year, and to be able to have that honor. I know he's smiling down. It's the reason why, for once, we actually have some sun here in Chicago.
As a 50-year-old man who started enjoying my memories of the Chicago Bears go to the mid-70s, and that's when I first became a fan and first started going to games, I find it very telling that for your dad being at number one, how few of those 70s teammates are in consideration. You've got to get into the 80s, into the latter portion of his career, of course, the Super Bowl champions and all that, but really when he was a phenomenon was when he was doing everything pretty much by himself in a way that I don't know if people really appreciate what was going on in 77 and 78 and 79 when that's what we had. We had 3 hours of Walter Payton.
Yeah, if you get a chance, there's also, for me, I being a kid growing up playing soccer all my life, football was never really one of my passions until I got older. So now that I'm 38, I go back and I'm doing my history on my father. I want to learn as much as I can about him and his MVP season in the 70s. You see, if you go back and you look at his numbers, he was a one-man band. It was him left, him right, and that team was not good at all, and teams knew that he was going to be getting the football, and to know that his drive and just everything inside of him to be able to get those yards and to carry that team was pretty amazing. And you guys, it's the reason why I think my respect level for him is through the roof now. Like, I always loved him. He's my dad. But to know how hard he worked and what he sacrificed, because as a kid growing up in Arlington Heights, I was mad at him because he wasn't around enough in the summer times. And I'm like, why isn't dad around? Now being older, understanding that he had to sacrifice certain things that he loved. That was maybe spending time with the family because he was working. But he put himself through, I would say, there's a video saying that he talked about him working himself out to the brink of death. So on that hill in Arlington Heights. So when he got into the season, there was nothing that he hadn't seen before. Like, if they were going to give him the ball 40 times, he was ready for it, because what he did leading up to the season was unbelievable. So now I look back and I go, man, like, he was special. He's the greatest football player that I've ever seen. I have never seen anybody that could do as much as he could do and what he was asked to do. And he might not have been great at everything, but he was good at everything. So to me, it's just a special honor for our family today.
So I'm a little younger and caught Walter's career, obviously, through like VHS and Tales from My Dad and stuff. But also I know the hill you're talking about, because we watched Pure Peyton all the time, so often that we had to take a week off so that my dad could check the tape and see if we'd worn the damn thing out. Like, that's do you get to show that to your kids? Do you have a copy? And if you do, like, when can we get that on DVD, JP? Like, when does this come out for everybody now?
Well, my son he's a fanatic, and he's 7 years old, and it's amazing. Today we were sitting down having breakfast today for school, and I said, you know, the Bears are coming out. They came out with a top 100 list, and I'm like, you know who's number one, right? And the first thing out of his mouth, which I tweeted a couple days before, he goes, "Easy, Walter." I'm like, yeah, it's Grandpa, man. He's like, I already know it is. He's like, who else could it be? And for him to want to research his grandpa and know about him, that makes me feel special. And I take him to the hill. We go to the hill. It's not there anymore, but it still has a 34 on the side. I was there with Jordan Howard a couple of years ago to do a thing for Gatorade, and just to be there and know what it meant. And Dan might know this place. Dan, you remember the Charlie Club back in the day?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Okay, so listen, real quick. There's a guy who was there one night. My dad was working out late, and he was a big bodybuilder. And he was like, I want you to do deadlifts and squats and everything and bench press. My dad's like, listen, I'll do all that if you come do a workout with me in the daytime. The guy's like, yeah, whatever. So my dad went to the workout with him. The next day they go to the hill. This big, huge bodybuilder is trying to run up the hill. He did it twice, and they had to call an ambulance to actually drive up there to pick him up, to put him in, because his body went into shock. That's how crazy it was. So these stories that I hear from people every single day, and stories like that, it just makes me go, what kind of man was he? Was he truly human? Because to put his body through what he put it through is truly amazing.
At the Charlie Club, it was this sort of ambitious, like, high-end health club hotel restaurant thing downtown. It was almost like an old-fashioned sports club. And I don't know. I remember how long it lasted. It was an ambitious idea that never quite worked.
Yeah, it was like Lifetime before Lifetime, basically, but with racquetball. You know, racquetball was in back in the
right
day.
Wow. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that in a long time, man. Yeah, this is so. When you say he prepared for so much, and the running, the famously running the hill, and the how rustic that is what hits home to me, because it's where teams now, everything is super high tech. It's sort of like, you know, like, remember the montage in Rocky IV when they're comparing, you know, Drago's got all the machines and everything and all the digital readouts, and they juxtapose it with Rocky lifting up the, you know, the wagon, and he's swinging from the rafters. Yeah, but there's something to that where if a modern player were to do something like that, it's also almost like Greek myth, like Sisyphus. Like, you're literally running uphill, you're literally facing this challenge. I think it's a really cool thing. I think it's cool that you went there with Jordan Howard too. I wonder what his reaction was.
It was really cool. We had a conversation, and we talked a little bit before, because it was raining out that day, and he was just talking about the feeling of being there, and I was trying to explain to him where the hill was, and just very receptive to, you know, knowing more about my dad and the legacy of the running back position with the Bears. And I think that's why I became so close with him, and just knowing how hard he was working. No, it didn't work out here, but just to be at that point, and what you were talking about goes to everything. Like, yeah, he was doing what athletes are doing nowadays, of like really specialized and doing the things that you need to get ready for your sport. And a lot of guys weren't. You remember, Dan, there was guys would just come into training to training camp, and that's how they would prepare for, you know, to get ready for the season. My dad was doing that way, way before, while people were on trips, you know, enjoying their summers and going out with their families. He was working, and it paid off in the long run, because, you know, I've been talking to so many guys that my dad played with Matt Sui, and talking to the guys. He played hurt. I would say almost 80% of the time he was hurt when he played. And no one ever knew. No one saw him. He wasn't in the doctor. He wasn't in there getting, you know, fixed up. He never came home with ice bags on. And it's a way that he was mentally tough, and his mind over matter was unbelievable. He could, the pain that he was feeling, and somehow he could actually, with his mind, take that pain away and go out and play. He'd have a sprained ankle. The ankle would be swollen up for the whole week. He wouldn't practice for the whole week. And he would come in on Sunday, and he'd rush for 100 yards. It's amazing. And as I keep on finding out more about him, I get floored by how hard he was and how tough he was as a person.
JP, I want to ask you about another guy on this list. He's number 41, so a full 40 spots lower than your dad. Neil Anderson, who played with Walter for 2 years. I've always been told that had he not come right, you know, don't be the guy after the guy, be the guy after the guy after the guy.
Yeah.
He could be higher on this list, higher than 41, if he'd not played right after your dad. Do you have any idea of what his and Neil's relationship was like? Did you know Neil all that well when you were growing up?
Yeah, I kind of, learning more about the relationship, I think it was tough for my dad. I mean, he was, you know, almost on his way out, and, you know, Neil was the hot new thing, and so that's always probably a difficult situation. I don't think there was any animosity there between the two guys, but in sports, you guys know what it's like. I mean, someone's always coming for your job, and I think it was hard for him because in his mind, he felt like he probably had a little bit more time left to play, but everybody was really pushing Neil because he was the new guy. He was younger, and, you know, for my dad, I think he struggled a little bit because the feelings and just the desire to want to keep playing, but then also, too, when he left, I think there could have been more opportunities maybe to keep playing after 87, to go somewhere else and play, but my dad's biggest thing was he wanted to start and finish with one uniform on, so I think Neil, yeah, I think it was tough, too, because when you're following a great, you're following a legend, it's always hard because everybody is comparing you to the person that came before you, and it's unrealistic to ever probably accomplish those goals that my dad did. But, yeah, if he maybe would have came at a different time and didn't have to follow 34, maybe he is higher up on that list.
Talking with Jarrett Payton of WGN and CLTV, the son of the number one Bear of all time, as was announced today by the team, Walter Payton. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. This might sound like a weird question. How big a Bears fan were you growing up?
I wasn't.
Wins and losses didn't mean anything to you?
No, wins and losses didn't mean anything to me at all. You guys both know I was a soccer player, so soccer was everything. Didn't want to touch football, didn't like football, didn't watch Bears games. I would go to Bears games, but it didn't. I was, you know, more worried about what Team USA was doing playing soccer. You know, I mean, that was my true love. It wasn't until I truly got into football, and then I would say around college is when things started to matter about the Bears to me. And it was, you know, now it's my life. I mean, it's the only thing I think about, the only thing that old guys at the gym, when they walk up to me, want to talk about. Every day I step out of my house, I talk about the Chicago Bears. You would think I was actually getting paid by the Bears by how much I probably talk about them every single day.
Okay, yeah, then answer this. Where the hell is Khalil Mack, number 60 on this list? He played one season. I know he's really good.
Well, he's a difference maker, man.
JP.
I get it, but you guys saw the impact. I mean, there's not a lot of guys that can step into an organization to have that kind of impact, to see what he did for this organization, to be able to push them forward. I mean, not just defensively. When you can have a guy do that to the offense as well, I'll never forget. We were at, the Luke Bryan concert. And as I was walking up at Wrigley, I was walking up and I see Cody Whitehair, I see Zach Miller and Trubisky. And they, if you saw the look on their faces, offensive guys' faces about, we got Mac. It was like Christmas was the next day. I mean, he truly changed the fortunes of this organization defensively, definitely. So why not put him on the list? You got to. I feel like he deserves to be on the list somewhere.
Right. You're swaying me.
It's fascinating to hear you describe this. The fact that for somebody like me, who just grew up steeped in Bears lore and living and dying with everything that happened with this team, then getting to cover the team on a daily basis for 4 years and traveling with the team and continuing to be in a position following whatever they do and having really strong feelings about this, where you say that you've gone back retroactively in studying about your dad and in learning about the team, how cool it is that a lot of this stuff can be completely new to you, that you can watch video of something from the early 80s or from the late 70s and have never seen it before. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's become a part of my life. It's something that my son is I've never, for a 7-year-old, I didn't have that burning desire to be the best at playing sports. I was always just good at playing sports. I just like being around my friends. So I didn't have this desire. I didn't want to be better than my dad. I didn't want to be a superstar. I just love playing sports and I wanted to do it for a job. My dad had this desire to be the best. My son has that same desire at everything that he does in sports. And to see that it skipped a generation, I'm cool with that. Like, I'm totally cool with it. But to see him and how much he loves his team. And he got a chance right before Christmas to meet Khalil Mack and Mitchell Trubisky, and to see his face after that wild card game, he called me on FaceTime with my wife and the tears in his eyes and how much it hurt. And I was telling him that you have to learn from these situations because, you see this team winning and it's all good, but you got to have this part too, the losing and how it tastes. And to be around this team, to be with Matt Nagy at the Super Bowl and NFL Honors and to talk to him and see his face to tell me that this team is hungrier than they were last year because they got that taste. I knew that this organization is in the right situation, and I know that to see that he is the right guy to lead them to where we all want to see them go, and that is to another Super Bowl and to hopefully win another Super Bowl championship. If I can see that before I die, and I'm a Cubs fan as well, if I could see that before I die, just another Super Bowl championship with the Bears, that's all I want. It's like the only thing on my list that I want. I got everything else. I've seen everything else. I've had everything else. That's the only thing that I want.
Jarrett, this was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you for doing this.
Anytime, guys. Anytime. Connor, man, I miss you, boy. I miss you, man.
JP, best of the family, man. Great catching up.
Good catching up. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
The fact that Jarrett Payton has a 7-year-old is really...
I remember when he had the... I think we were working together when the little kid was like 2 or something.
7 already.
He's showing me... He came... We were doing a show and he comes in and he shows me a video of his kid like bench pressing 400 pounds or something like that. I'm like, I think this is going to work out for everybody. I think you guys are going to be all right.
This segment sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouth-watering water.
Talk with Rich Campbell a little bit more about the current Bears. OTAs going on now, and we've got just a little bit of Cubs injury update news to get for you as well. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
It's a movement. It's a revolution. And I'm excited to be a small part of it.
Rich Campbell.
I'll get up with you. Have some coffee.
Chicago Tribune Bears beat writer.
Everything that happened, every last word is in my notes.
Bringing you the latest from Hallis Hall.
Last year, I kept talking about 101. Now, without a doubt, I can say with pure conviction, we're in 202. Right now, and he's, I don't even need to, we don't need to have a live game to see mentally where he's at with calling the plays, where he's at with, I mean, he's doing things in the last 2 days that at this year, last year at this time, he wasn't even close to. So that's exciting.
Asking hard-hitting questions.
What impressed you about Leonard's sack?
Rich Campbell with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Rich Campbell, our buddies on Twitter at @Rich_Campbell. He of the Chicago Tribune joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Rich, hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Rich, we have been going through the top 100. We'll get to the modern-day Bears and all the news and all that kind of stuff, but we've been spending all day on the list. Our poll question on Twitter today is, Who got the biggest snub? 58% say Urlacher has been rated too low. 24% say Fridge not being on the list. 17% say Dan Hampton being 11 is too low. And then 1% says something else. Where are you at on this?
All right. So let me start by saying, and I'm not sure if you guys know this, but we at the Tribune finalized our top 100 Bears earlier this month. And it is going to start rolling out next week because it's 100 days to the opener. So we are going to roll out all 100 of these guys, one per day, from starting next week leading up to the Packers game September 5th.
You guys are going to kill Dan. He's not going to make it.
Here's how this thing needs to be digested. Like, just check back in every week on the last seven because, you know, on that June day where we roll out, oh, I don't know, let me pull a name here, Lee Arto, you're going to go, okay, I don't know who that is. More power to you.
All right, but so you're saying this as a preface for your answer, but before we get your answer, okay, what criteria did you and the Tribune sports staff use?
So it was very difficult, and this is what, you know, I would say to anyone who criticizes, you know, Dan and Don's list or the list we came out at the Tribune is, try this exercise yourself and figure out how to compare a player who was named All-Pro in the 1930s when there were eight teams in the league versus, you know, Alshon Jeffrey. It's just so difficult to do because it's not just apples and oranges, it's pineapples and watermelons. So I give a lot of credit to one of my colleagues, Will Larkin, on the desk, who built a framework for the rankings. He came up with this formula assigning point values for all pros and Super Bowl championships and division championships and seasons played. And it just sort of gave us a framework. So that's what we started with. And then a lot of it was trying to ask around or some people who had been, you know, following the team a lot longer than I have. You know, I was 3 years old in 1985. So as much as I'd love to compare, let's say, Tom Thayer to some of the people on this list, I just didn't see him play closely. It's really difficult. You just sort of, it's nebulous. I wish I could give you a stronger criteria, although I will say that when it comes to a player like George Halas, and I say player, that's what we tried to stick to. You know, what was George Halas as a player? What was Mike Ditka as a player for the Bears and not just, you know, when he played for the Cowboys, that type of thing? So you're asking about biggest snub?
Yep.
All right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Where did Dan and Don have Urlacher? They had him at 14, is
14,
that right?
Yeah, 14,
in between Jimbo Covert at 13 and Singletary at 15.
Okay. So as I did on our meetings, I tried to have some awareness about my knowledge of Bears history and defer to some, as I said, to some folks with a bit more tenure and a bit more experience. However, I did think it was important that we highlighted a few talking points or flashpoints, such as you better decide who you want higher, you know, make a concerted decision, Singletary or Urlacher higher than the other. Okay. And Pompey and Pearson have Urlacher higher, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And so do we at the Tribune. So you know, in a lot of ways, let me say this. Dan and Don are the utmost authorities on this, and in a lot of ways, theirs is the answer key. So as theirs has come out over the last 4 days, I've been very interested in seeing how close we got to theirs. There are some that are very close. In fact, our list is bookended with the same two players, coincidentally, Pat Manley and Walter Payton. But in between, there are some big-time differences. We have Urlacher higher than Dan and Don did. So I think I could go ahead and say that is the biggest snub because I'm even looking at our own list. I won't tell you how high he is, but we do have Urlacher higher. And we also have the Fridge on our list.
Interesting.
Yes.
As you should.
And we do. And we do. You'll have to follow along to see where he ended up. But that was one point that I made note of when we started to get into Dan's and Don's list enough, like, oh man, they did not put the Fridge on. Okay. Another one that stood out to me, Khalil Mack for them at 60 after one season.
Yeah.
That was another difficult talking point for us. You know, as we went through our meeting, how do you weigh a player like Mack who, if he plays out his contract here, he's definitely going to be in the top 50, you know, as long as he doesn't get hurt, he's going to be way up there. But right now, you want to give your list some staying power, but what do you do with him after one season? It's safe to say that we did not have Khalil as high as 60.
My favorite thing about both these lists so far is that Patrick Manley is number 100 emeritus. He's just always going to be the 100th best Bear of all time.
No matter what happens. So, you know, with Manley, there was some argument against having him on the list because he's a long snapper, but I was in support of having Manley on the list because he's played more games than anyone, but he also did it extremely well. If you want to talk about Manley's bad snaps, it's like a 30-second conversation.
It's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one.
In the San Francisco game where there was 45-mile-an-hour winds.
Yes, that's exactly the one that he identifies, and everyone does. That's the only bad one. So I think he's on the list, and I laughed out loud when I saw Manley at 100 on Dan and Don's because, all right, we're on the same page with these guys on this one.
All right, we've got some positional changes with the Bears, and I wonder what these mean. We know the most meaningful is going to be James Daniels as the starting center and Cody Whitehair being the left guard. That's clearly the most important. But Taequann Mizell is now magically a wide receiver, and Bradley Sowell impressed enough on that trick play with his athleticism and feet and hands that he's a tight end now. What does that say about him, and what does it maybe say about Adam Shaheen?
Yeah, so let's start at the tight end spot. I think if Bradley Sowell were an offensive lineman that the Bears felt like was a lockdown swing tackle, that he was going to definitely be good enough to be their swing tackle, a guy they could trust, let's say far and beyond their next candidate, which is Rashad Coward, they'd have kept him there. I think generally when you think about position changes like this, you don't change guys' position if it's working. You know, it's hard enough to find guys that play well in one position. When you change their position, I view it very skeptically. That's not to say that it can't work. I mean, Roy Robertson Harris is a great example of a position change that has really helped a guy thrive. He's done great on the defensive line, considering he didn't play there in college. So with Sowell moving, I think, as you said, Dan, you got to look at the depth at that Y position. I know Dax Raymond, this undrafted free agent, was kind of a darling of the Twitter cult out there, and now he's got some competition. We know Sowell is athletic. It was interesting to hear Nagy perk up yesterday and talk about how all in Sowell was for this change, that, you know, he's really well liked on the team. He's athletic. He can, you know, in their field day the other day, he threw the ball like 70 yards. He's just a super athlete. So we know he can block. We know he played this type of sixth offensive lineman a little bit last year. So he can do some of the things they're asking of him. I would give him a leg up to make the team over Dax Raymond at this point. So maybe, you know, they're going to give Adam Shaheen all the chances in the world. He's a second-round draft pick. He needs to play well. He's probably got more downfield ability than Sowell. We'll see how that one goes. I think if you're looking at that position, why tight end? I don't think Super Bowl hopes hinge on the why tight end spot, but they've got some projects. They've got some ground to make up. All levels of the depth chart there.
Yeah, how much body work is there? If you're, and I don't know what Sowell weighed last year, but obviously now it's time to start dropping a little bit and going more for flexibility and speed and explosiveness rather than size.
Yeah, there. I don't have the weight at my fingertips either, but even just looking at Sowell yesterday when we were out there, he is the biggest tight end they have, you know, in that group. It obviously stands out.
Bears website has him at 6'7", 312.
Rich, slim down. You can't be 280. You know, you've got to slim down to 260 and be able to run. And I think that's a challenge ahead for Sowell. Now they're capable of losing the weight and doing it, you know, properly, but it is a process.
What of the offensive line, James Daniels? And this is a big change. Should we have seen this coming more than it happened?
Yeah. We've been writing about this and the possibility ever since last season ended, and truly the Bears decided back in December and January that they were going to do this. They didn't want to do it right away because they wanted as much continuity for Trubisky as possible when he was starting a new offense. So I understood that wanting to keep Trubisky and Cody Whitehair united as that battery, it made sense to them. But now you're changing this, and as the Bears come to this opportunity, whatever's going to be ahead for them, trying to build on 12-4, it does leave you with this, I don't know, feeling of regret a little bit. Like, man, they'd be that much further ahead if they had just gone ahead and done this last year. And you know, maybe for James Daniels in the center position, that it was intricate enough and involved enough from a protections and identification standpoint that they just wanted to rely on Whitehair. But the thing is that Whitehair is still going to help with that. I mean, he's still there for Daniels to make these calls and get the Bears lined up and checked the way they need to. So I think overall it's a change to be optimistic about, because Daniels was a really good center at Iowa, and I think Whitehair has been his best in the times he's played guard for the Bears. That, you know, he's had some shotgun issues snapping at center. So I like this change. And with Harry Hiestand, you know, given his stamp of approval, you understand why the Bears are going with it, optimistic about it, and they feel good.
Lastly, and real quickly, listening to Chuck Pagano, he's super football-y, he's so coachy, and I'm just kind of getting used to that. It's not like Vic, where Vic just kind of said whatever he said and didn't just sort of sprinkle everything with coachisms. I also learned that as much as we were assured that it would still be largely a Vic Fangio defense, maybe not as much as we thought at the beginning. It sounds like now that Pagano's got his arms around this, he's a little more confident in owning it more than he did when he first walked through the door. Do you agree?
That is a great observation, and it's 100% true. In fact, Brad Biggs will have a column at ChicagoTribune.com later today about this, talking to some of the people around the building saying, this is new. The terminology is all new. And at the beginning, it was portrayed to us that, you know, Chuck was going to have to sort of figure Vic's terminology and apply it to what he does, and it's turning out that that's not really the case, that, that Chuck is going forward with his system here. And conceptually, there's a ton of overlap. Vic and Pagano, they cross paths in Baltimore in the mid-2000s. You know, they run this 3-4. They're going to be aggressive. So there is ownership. There's going to be full ownership for Pagano. And, you know, I was talking to Eddie Jackson yesterday after practice, and he said there are times when, during practice, guys will shout out old calls, you know, old terminology. That's to be expected, and I think the Bears are smart enough and self-driven enough to overcome this transition. But what you just said, Dan, let's just acknowledge it right now, because it's quite possible this takes a little bit longer and it's a little bit bumpier than otherwise thought it would be.
Rich, appreciate it as always. Great checking in with you.
Thanks, guys. Check our list when it starts coming out next week.
No, you better believe we will. You got to tell me to do that? Come on. Rich Campbell of the Tribune, who, by the way, is going to be sitting in that chair on May 31st.
Chair?
Yeah.
I'm going to be gone.
When you are out, he is going to be in for you and sitting here and hosting.
Fun guy to talk Bears with. A little bit of Cubs news. We got Lawrence in transition coming up in just a bit. Chris Bryant is out of the lineup. It is a scheduled day. It looks like Pedro Strop is going to throw a bullpen Saturday. He was sprinting from clubhouse to field after Baez's game winner on Tuesday. Hamstring looking good. That per Mark Gonzalez of the Trip.
This segment brought to you by Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. Get amazing savings during GMC Truck Month. Save 19% on a new 19 GMC Acadia. Save 22% on a new 19 Buick Encore. Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. For offer details, visit anthonygurnee.com. When we come back, your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves are battling the San Diego Gulls in the Western Conference Finals. The Wolves return home Monday and Wednesday for Games 6 and 7 at Allstate Arena. Tickets start at $15. For playoff information, visit chicagowolves.com. And this segment brought to you by Goodwill. Every time you shop at Goodwill, you wield the power to put people to work. Every purchase enables Goodwill to help someone develop a resume, learn interview skills, or get a job. You shop, they train, people work. Visit amazinggoodwill.com for a Goodwill store near you. It is time now for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. This hour's keyword is loan. L-O-A-N.
Right.
Not L-O-N-E. L-O-A-N, loan. Text it to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is loan, L-O-A-N, to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. We're going to say hello to Lawrence Holmes and get his thoughts in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You got the Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.